Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. We start with an article from Benjamin Krem's master, then we'll have a few questions asked of Benjamin Krem. And lastly, an article published in the March issue of Share International magazine titled How to Restore Our Relationship to Earth.
And this is titled Waiting for the New. The world is waiting, not with bated breath, but with a growing sense that events are moving towards a crisis, the outcome of which is unclear. No one knows how things will turn. The professionals, politicians and economists alike flounder helplessly in the cross currents, unable to plan in the conflicting directions they are forced to take. Daily, new problems arise to test the goodwill of the most enlightened, while behind the scenes, the ruthless greed of speculation brings nations to their knees.
Whenever such a situation arises, men grow fearful, and when in fear, they strike out in anger. Thus, it is today in many parts of the world. A growing intolerance of refugees, of foreigners, discolours the democratic process, as living standards fall and security is threatened. Political extremists, waiting in the wings, seize their opportunity and emerge to lead unthinking youth in imitation of the past. Nothing can halt the slide towards chaos as market forces crush the life of men in their unholy grip. Nothing can save a civilization based as it is on competition and greed. The old order is dying. Nay, it is already dead. Commercialization, another name for mammon, has usurped the law and become the state religion around the world.
Were men alone in this maelstrom, pitiful would be their plight. Sad indeed would be their fate. Nowhere could they turn for succour. No one could they ask for aid. Forces quite beyond their control would drive them remorselessly to war, and finis would be written large over the man's life on earth. However, man is not alone, nor ever has been, but buttressed by his elder brothers, he makes his journey under supervision and guidance, not alone, but in the safe company of those who have gone before and know well the way. Into the centre of the storm, this group of elder brothers is returning.
One by one, they take their places in your midst, ready when called upon to offer their advice and help. For centuries have they awaited this opportunity to work directly in the world of men. Now they come, bearing gifts of wisdom and love. Under their leader, the Lord Maitreya, they will turn men away from the brink of self-destruction and open a new chapter in the history of the race. From the ruins of the old, a new civilization will be built by human hands under the inspiration of Maitreya and his group. Fear not, for the end is already known. humanity will overcome this time of crisis and enter into a new and better relationship with itself, its planet, and its source. Maitreya has come to make all things new. Knowingly or not, the world is waiting for the new.
As Benjamin Krem worked with his master, informing the public about Maitreya's imminent return, he was asked innumerable questions covering a vast range of topics. Answers provided here were given by Benjamin Krem and his master over the years and have not been previously published in Share International. And the first question is, how can you call this a message and time of hope? And that was from Paris in 2007. And the answer given was, it is one of the most interesting times in human history, and extraordinary events are taking place. It is a privilege to be alive in incarnation at this time when all is being changed. Everything on earth is undergoing a profound transformation, transfiguration. Of course, to many, this is the most terrible time they have ever known in their lives. These seem to be times of difficulty and danger, all sorts of threats, war, disasters of all kinds, even the destruction of our environment. So how come I am hopeful? Many different things happen in life at the same time. On the one hand, the world is undergoing disaster, and at the same time, the world is changing for the better. Both are true, but people usually see things one-dimensionally. They tend to see the threats because it is frightening.
And the next question is, how can one see positive things in wars or the threat of wars in many places? Surely that can't be seen in a positive light. And Benjamin Krem's answer is, it is true that they are real disasters and not for the benefit of humanity. But they are the last throes of a declining civilization or a dying age. What happens when an era dies? It is not the end of all life. It is simply the end of an age. And we are living in a period of transition. The upheaval is caused by the clash of the old and the new energies. This is a cosmic event, and we have no control over it. The changes are essential in order to create a new, just civilization. Fortunately, the old divisions in the world are nearing their end, and the new energies will produce synthesis, blending, and fusing diverse people and ideas. We should aim at unity with the greatest diversity. The basic longing of all people is to find unity, fusion with others. We have that to look forward to.
Next question is, let's suppose that Declaration Day is delayed for a while and that the world finds itself in crisis, on the brink of a nuclear war. Would Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World and Hierarchy, allow the planet to be destroyed? And Benjamin Krem replied, I believe that Hierarchy, or rather Sanat Kumara behind Hierarchy, would not allow the planet to be destroyed and would not allow humanity itself to be annihilated. I also believe that the Christ's presence is the guarantee that the inner decision necessary for peace, that is sharing, has already been taken by humanity, whether it knows it or not. The Christ has said this so many times that we simply have to believe it. And that was from November 1982. And I have another one. Is it true that Sanat Kumara is directly involved in the nuclear issue? And the answer, yes. Since the secret for the creation of the atomic bomb was released by Hierarchy to the Allied scientists during the war from 1939 to 1945, Sanat Kumara is now directly involved in any use of nuclear weapons and, I believe, would not allow such a catastrophe. War by accident is another possibility, and of course on the surface it would appear that this could take place at any time. The safeguards for the control of such an eventuality are still in the hands of fallible human beings. If there were such an accidental release of nuclear weapons, they too can be neutralized, even in flight, by Hierarchy. We would not be allowed to devastate the planet.
And the next question, which was asked after a lecture by Benjamin Krem in Paris, France, in 2009, where is the astral or emotional body? Is it inside or outside the physical body? Does it extend beyond the physical body? And the answer, the astral body is a mechanism. It is part of you. You are made up of energies. Where can it be said to be located? In the solar plexus center or chakra, it is inside and outside. The physical body is made up of muscle, bone, blood, sinews, etc. But behind that, substanding it, there is just energy. Everything in the physical world is in fact energy taking that form. So, if you saw yourself energetically, you would just see a pattern of slow movement of energies coming and going, crisscrossing, moving, flowing in different colours, different hues, some at slightly different speeds. And where these energies crisscross each other, you have chakras or energy centres. Where you have absorbed mental energy, the mental body is made. Where astral energy is absorbed, the astral body is formed. As you attract the energy in, it goes in and out. The more you use astral or emotional energy, the more powerful becomes the activity of your astral emotional body. The aim of evolution is to still the astral emotional body, which is the most powerful body we have because it took about 12.5 million years to perfect. It is so perfect now that it is the strongest and most difficult to overcome.
And now here's an excerpt from a message from Maitreya. Will you take part now in this great work and fulfill the world's need? There is no higher call than that to serve the world. There is no greater commitment than to serve your brother. Hold fast to the purpose of your return and help my plan. Many there are who hear me and heed me not, but the few have listened and the will and love fulfill my task. There is now assembling a vast army of individuals who together form my vanguard. They know me, whether they know me or not. They follow me, whether they realize that I am here or I am still to come. They need me as I need them. They are me as I am in them. Make yourselves one of those through whom I may work and reveal myself. Take up that challenge and fulfill this life. And that was the message number 14 from Maitreya.
So next we have an essay titled How to Restore Our Relationship to Earth. And it's by David Corten. To have a viable human future on this overstressed planet, it is essential that we build a solidarity economy that seeks material sufficiency and spiritual abundance for all in balance with a living Earth. We must join in common cause to build local relationships of caring and equitable sharing across the lines of race, religion, and class. Strong and healthy local relationships, however, are only one element of the larger economic transformation required to rebalance our relationship to Earth and achieve a radical redistribution of access to and control of the essentials of living.
Three key statistics reveal the current grim reality. Number one, according to the Ecological Footprint Network, we humans currently consume at a rate of 1.7 times what Earth's generative capacity can sustain, and the gap is growing. Consumption at a rate above one further depletes Earth's capacity to support life. Number two, according to Oxfam International, the financial assets of the world's eight richest individuals now exceed those of the poorest half of humanity, 3.8 billion people. These eight people have ever-growing power to engage in obscene displays of self-indulgent consumption, dictate political outcomes that favor their further enrichment, undermine the legitimacy and credibility of governing institutions, and deprive billions of respect and essential means of living. Our current population, this is number three, of 7.5 billion people, is expected to stabilize at 11.2 billion in 2100, a 50% increase. All will need food, water, shelter, energy, and other essentials, further intensifying competition for Earth's dwindling resources and condemning additional billions to lives of desperation.
As droughts, storms, floods, fires, and rising sea levels render more areas of Earth uninhabitable, We face a virtually certain future of death, displacement and growing waves of desperate refugees, threatening the future of every person, irrespective of class, colour, gender or religion. Throughout history, as empires have risen and fallen, people have experienced immense suffering from similar patterns of excess and exclusion. But it always has been more contained by geography. Never have we faced species extinctions and natural systems collapse on anything like the current scale. So dire is the situation that we now face the possibility that we might become the first species knowingly responsible for its own extinction.
A different course requires corrective action, equivalent to the scale of the problem we have created. Success requires education and organizing to make the politically impossible politically unstoppable. The basics are straightforward. We must reduce our burden on Earth's regenerative systems by approximately 40%. And we must share what remains of Earth's generative capacity to meet the essential material needs of all people. Food, water, clean air, housing, energy, transport, and more. We must simultaneously limit the growth of our numbers by making family planning services freely available to all and encouraging their use. We all depend on the health and productivity of living Earth systems that none among us created. We earn our right to use them by fulfilling our responsibility to care for and restore them to full health and productivity. No one has a right to more than they need, so long as others' needs go unmet. Here are some of the actions required to simultaneously restore human-Earth balance and redistribute the human share of Earth's wealth.
Our most urgent need is to replace our use of coal, oil and gas with wind and solar energy and switch from farming methods that destroy the soil and deplete water sources to ones that restore soil fertility, clean water, and sequester carbon. We can do this in part with market mechanisms by taxing coal, oil, and gas extraction at the source and distributing the proceeds equally to everyone. Similar measures might apply to the extraction of all other non-renewable resources. A society without safety nets creates a powerful incentive for people to hold on to excess assets. No one knows how long they will live or what health or other misfortunes might befall them or their loved ones. Thus, no one knows how much money they may need. Public programs that guarantee health care and retirement security for all reduce uncertainty and, by extension, people's hoarding mentality.
Those individuals who make unusual contributions to the common good may merit some level of extra material reward, but this doesn't need to pass on to their heirs in perpetuity. In the tradition of Jubilee, every death should be a time for celebratory wealth redistribution to fund educational and livelihood opportunity trust funds for every young person. In addition to giving to non-profits, individuals could gift their estates to finance worker and community cooperative-owned enterprises or land trusts. Of course, a sharply progressive income tax would reduce excessive accumulation from the beginning, which is critical to maintaining a healthy democracy.
So how should we deal with corporations and the excessive power they currently wield? Corporations are creations of government. The only legitimate reason for a democratic government to create a corporation is to serve a beneficial public purpose. Once created to serve that purpose, the corporation must be transparent to the public and accountable to the government of the electorate that chartered it. A corporation has no inherent right to exist or operate beyond that government's jurisdiction. As we face challenges unprecedented in human experience, we must rise to the occasion in global solidarity. We share an equally unprecedented interest in a deep cultural, social, and institutional transformation that recognizes our common humanity, fulfills our need to share and care for Earth and one another, and fills the lives of all with an abundance of love and joy.
Thank you very much for listening. That's all we have time for today. Love and blessings to all.